Happy Memorial Day weekend. This is Jerry Evans on Nevada Wild. Please know what the weekend is about and Memorial Day. And thank you to all of the veterans and active duty military, and especially those that have served and are no longer with us. Be sure and thank a veteran this weekend. Appreciate you listening to Nevada Wild. I'm Jerry Evans again. And how about this? Supreme Court ruling threatens wildlife and hunting. This just came down this previous week. In an opinion released by the Supreme Court, they ruled that an 1868 treaty between the U.S. and the Crow tribe could give members of that tribe the right to ignore state hunting regulations and engage in the unregulated take of game beyond the borders of reservation land. This came about the case of Herrera versus Wyoming. It was brought all the way to the Supreme Court by Clavin Herrera, a member of the Crow tribe, and get this, a former tribe game warden. You have to ask yourself, what rules did he enforce as a tribe game warden when he did what he did? And what he did was this. He followed a group of elk past and off the Crow Reservation, and he ended up taking several bull elk in the Bighorn National Forest out of season, as if there was no bag limit whatsoever, as if it was 1868. He asserted his treaty rights as a defense to criminal charges of illegally taking elk out of season. He lost in state court, took it to the Supreme Court, and Justices Sotomayor, Ginsburg, Breyer, Kagan, all the liberal wing of the Supreme Court, and get this, Neil Gorsuch, appointed by Trump, agreed with Herrera, and they held that the Bighorn National Forest and other federal lands may fall within the scope of an 1868 treaty that permits members of the Crow tribe to hunt on unoccupied lands of the United States. It says in the treaty that all members of the Crow tribe must inhabit and inhabit only on the reservation, or basically live only on the reservation. There were boundaries set up. Does that mean that in today, if we're going to adhere to this 1868 treaty, do we have to find all of the members of the Crow tribe and say, you know, according to the treaty, you have to move back to the reservation? Are there any restrictions on where any members of the Crow tribe can live here in the United States? Imagine what could happen if the same principle applies to 19 other treaties with similar language, and that could spread the impact to other tribes as well as other states, even Nevada. That ruling could give tribal members the ability to ignore the state hunting regulations. I don't know about you, nothing surprises me when it comes to court rulings these days. Anna Seidman is the Chief Litigation Counsel with Safari Club International, the organization that supports the right for you to hunt, no matter what tribe you belong to, be you a Crow or be you a white Caucasian like myself. Anna Seidman joins us now. Anna, when I first read this story, I became somewhat apoplectic.
Okay, well, let's take a step back and just go into what this case was about for
and,
a moment.
And you could also say, Jerry, take a deep breath.
Well, that's okay. We're talking about litigation, and lots of people have to take a deep breath when you talk about litigation. So since this is what I do every day, and it makes me, you know, it makes me happy, this is my happy place. So I'm perfectly comfortable talking about lawsuits and litigation and lawyers and all that kind of fun stuff that makes most people tremble. But so this case was actually kind of interesting one. It was about a member of the Crow tribe, Clavin Herrera, who left the bounds of the property, the reservation tribal lands, and went into the Bighorn National Forest to go hunting, except that when he went hunting, it was not during legal hunting hours and seasons, and he took a couple of elk, and he was convicted by, or he was found guilty of poaching, essentially, because he was hunting outside of the regulated hunting season, etc. And he was found guilty in a state court, and he went up all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court with a defense that he was allowed to hunt in violation of Wyoming state regulations because of an 1868 treaty that said that members of the Crow tribe could hunt on unoccupied lands off the reservation outside of, you know, any other regulations, basically whenever and wherever they wanted, as long as it was within these quote-unquote unoccupied lands. The Supreme Court took a look at whether or not this treaty still applies, and the state of Wyoming opposed the treaty, said that the treaty was adopted prior to this Wyoming becoming a state, and for other reasons, the treaty no longer applied. A lot of other organizations filed amicus briefs, friend of the court briefs on both sides of the issue. Safari Club was one of them, and we supported the state of Wyoming's ability to regulate hunting within the boundaries of Wyoming, including on federal lands. So that's the synopsis. One other interesting tidbit about the Herrera, the petitioner, is that he was actually a former game warden.
Right. Now, I was just going to bring that up. He was a tribe game warden. Is this too much of a stretch to say, okay, then, in that particular case, wouldn't the treaty have said something to the effect that the Indians could only inhabit those boundaries of that reservation? In other words, are there any restrictions on anybody of the Crow tribe or any Indian tribe, for that matter, to remain on those reservations? In other words, they can't live outside of those reservations, if we're going to interpret a treaty that way?
Okay, so I focused, I have to apologize, I didn't focus on every aspect of the treaty. It's a lengthy one, but what I focused on for this case, because it was crucial to this particular Supreme Court case, was the ability to hunt outside of those lands. Living where they can live is a different issue. This was specifically, or the issue that I focused on was whether or not they could hunt, and the treaty did say that they could hunt outside of reservation lands, but only on lands that qualified as being unoccupied. And actually, that unoccupied became a very big issue in the court as to what the definition of unoccupied lands is. And that actually is something that's still not totally resolved by the Supreme Court opinion. What the Supreme Court did say, or the five justices who ruled in the majority, it was a 5-4 decision. And as you said, Justice Gorsuch was one of the five, and I honestly cannot get in, I can't tell you why he did what he did, because the opinion was written by Justice Sotomayor, and the four other justices basically joined in her opinion. So we don't have individual statements from each of the other four justices who joined. But the definition of the term unoccupied was not totally resolved in the case, because what the court said was that the Bighorn National Forest as a whole doesn't qualify as unoccupied lands, but that there may be portions of the forest that do qualify. And so it would be, that was not totally resolved as to which areas may qualify and which may not. So that may be litigated at some point in the future. There was another limitation to the opinion, and that was having to do with conservation necessity. So basically what the court recognized was that the state of Wyoming has to be able to regulate wildlife and hunting, and in certain circumstances it's an absolute necessity that they be able to determine who can and cannot and hunt in a certain area, and when there can be hunting and how many animals can be hunted. And what the court basically said was that there may be circumstances where the regulation is a conservation necessity, and that the state of Wyoming is able to go back to state court and argue that particular point, that specific regulations, perhaps the one that Clave and Herrera violated, are a matter of necessity, and that they can, they basically can override the treaty rights to enforce that conservation necessity.
Anna, so, Anna, to interrupt, I just wanted to set this up again as kind of a quick synopsis. Anna Seidman is with Safari Club International. She's the Chief Litigation Counsel for Safari Club International. This is regarding the case of Herrera versus Wyoming, brought to the Supreme Court by Clavin Herrera, member of the Crow Tribe, former tribe game warden. He followed a group of elk past the Crow Reservation's boundary. He ended up taking, it says in the press release, several bull elk in the Bighorn National Forest in Wyoming, out of season as well. And Neil Gorsuch voted along with the liberal wing of the Supreme Court, Sotomayor, Ginsburg, Breyer, Kagan, and Gorsuch. And the big picture of this, though, Anna, and the danger to wildlife and hunters is that using that same principle that the Supreme Court there used, that could apply to 19 other treaties. I mean, that could spread all across the United States, where it says if you're a member of a particular tribe on a reservation, you can go and hunt whenever you want, wherever you want, and take as many animals as you want, as opposed to good management of wildlife. There are Indian tribes that do a fantastic job of managing wildlife. The Apache tribe in Arizona, some of those tribes, and they see the value of it. Just as an anecdotal story is, I was having dinner with a couple in Nevada. It was several years ago, and they lived on the Bighorn Reservation near Custer, Montana. And the woman was telling me that there's absolutely no wildlife whatsoever on that reservation because of unregulated hunting on that particular reservation. Again, if this same principle applies to 19 other treaties with similar language.
True. And Jerry, I'm very glad you brought that point up, because I wanted to make a point about Safari Club. I mentioned that Safari Club joined as an amicus in this case to support the state of Wyoming. But I want to also make it clear that Safari Club is a hunting organization. We advocate for all hunters, including Native American hunters. We don't take aside one group of hunters against another. In this particular case, though, the reason that we participated as an amicus is because we support regulated hunting. We support the ability of the wildlife experts of the state of Wyoming to be able to manage hunting so that there will be adequate resources for everyone. And in a situation where there is unregulated hunting going on, it jeopardizes hunting for everyone, because it sometimes, in some cases, requires that the state reduce the bag limits and the seasons for everyone to accommodate the unknown, to accommodate, you know, those who are hunting goose are not following in the bag limits, et cetera. And it also, makes it impossible in some circumstances for the state management agency to know how many animals are being taken and how many there are going to be available for the following year or for the existing season. So I just wanted to make it clear that this is not, you know, this is about management and, regulation of hunting, and it's not intended to be anything other than that we support the scientific management and well-regulated management of hunting.
Very clearly stated. And Safari Club International supports lawful hunting for everybody. I mean, populations can be affected by drought, by fire, by disease, or whatever. So the proper management of a species of wildlife is what Safari Club International is essentially fighting for. And if one group of people can hunt with no restrictions as to the number of animals taken or the seasons, that's going to affect everybody. Where does this case go now? It goes back to Wyoming and the state, does it not?
That is my understanding. The Supreme Court remanded or returned the case to the state court system for the state of Wyoming to basically make its arguments that weren't made in the lower court, because the lower court made a determination based exclusively on whether or not the treaty still existed, or the treaty rights still existed. So there are a lot of other issues, such as the one about whether or not the regulation is based on conservation necessity, that hasn't been addressed by the court below, and that's where this will go now. So the you know, it's not over. In other words, there are still arguments left to be made.
In the meantime, though, Anna, if the same situation were to happen today, it's far away from most hunting seasons in most states, especially for elk and deer. What could happen today? I mean, could you see somebody else from the Crow Reservation leaving the Crow Reservation and, say, shooting a deer or an elk or an antelope completely out of season and with no limit? Could that be happening today?
You know, I think that it's a possibility that this case would give members of the Crow tribe, or potentially, you know, under other treaties, members of other tribes, the sense that because of the treaty rights that the court has upheld, that they have the ability to hunt off of outside of their reservation lands whenever or wherever they feel they need to.
And again, the big irony, this particular gentleman, Clavin Herrera, was a game warden. What rules or regulations did he enforce while a game warden? Because apparently he ignored the state of Wyoming's game regulations while killing these bull elk.
Going back to your question about what regulations Clavin Herrera as a game warden enforced, I think it's an interesting point, because that's actually that is an argument that SCI made in our amicus brief. We argued that the Crow tribe had adopted its own set of wildlife hunting regulations for within reservation lands, and that they had also at a point in the past indicated that they had the intention of adopting regulations for off-reservation hunting. But unfortunately, they had not ever done so, or at least not by the time that Herrera decided he was going to go hunt in the Bighorn National Forest. So, you know, the Crow tribe understands the need for well-managed, regulated hunting. So, you know, that this is somewhat, as you say, ironic that we're in this circumstance. But at this point now, we have a ruling from the Supreme Court that does have a potential impact on, you know, many other, in many other areas, if the areas are determined to be unoccupied land. So we have a lot more work to do now that this ruling has come out. And we'll have a lot more work in protecting the wildlife management authorities of states and in protecting the wildlife so that there is enough for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, you could apply that do as I say, not do as I do to Clavin Herrera. What exactly are you doing right now? Are you studying all the treaties in all states? Or what exactly is Safari Club International doing right now to see where things stand?
Well, right now, what we want to do is confer with the state of Wyoming and see where they're going with this. That's the beginning of the task. We work frequently with other state management agencies, and we want to get a sense from them how they want to approach this. Because this is, you know, more than anything else, this is a threat to their ability to manage wildlife. And they should, you know, they should be in the forefront in terms of how they would like to work with the hunting community to address this.
All right. Do you have a court date for the Wyoming case?
Not at this time. I don't believe one has been set.
All right. We'd love to follow up with you after that, if we can. Anna Seidman is with Safari Club International, Washington, D.C. office. She's the chief litigation counsel there. Anna, appreciate what you do. May we follow up with you again sometime soon?
Sure. That would be fine, Jerry. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to talk about this with you.